Welcome to the 80s Flophouse Podcast. My name's Richie. I'm sitting here with my four favorite brohams. We got Ryan, Tony, Jimmy, and Dusty. Welcome, guys. And a big welcome to our listening audience. You're the wind beneath our wings, so thank you for joining. Tonight we're talking about Hot for Teacher, you know, who are our favorite teachers and subjects from the 80s. So let's put on our thinking caps, sharpen our number two pencils, maybe sniff a little whiteout, and power up our IBM Selectric typewriters and have some fun. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Doing well.
What an intro.
What up?
I always look forward to Rich's intros every week.
Yeah. Pass that whiteout around here.
Let's keep the Flophouse weird. So,
speaking of whiteout, do you remember? I don't know who was riding on the bus with me, but they had this stuff they used to sell at the little head shop, the smoke shop down there in Bullhead, kind of by the Flophouse. It was called Rush. Do you remember that?
And yeah,
you would take a little snort of it, and it would like, it was crazy. Yeah. It was weird stuff. I'm sure it wasn't good for you, but
I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah. It's like smelling salts.
I wanted to do that as a reaction video one time. I want to send you guys some smelling salts and have all of us do kind of a reaction on it. Rogan do it on his podcast, and I was dying laughing.
Oh my gosh, that'd be funny.
I just like smelling carbon copy paper.
Oh, yeah. Do you really?
You can still get
back
that.
In the day.
Back in the day, best. That'll take you right back.
Gasoline. When I was younger, I was fond of the smell of gasoline. But I don't like recommend that.
I like how our small talk turned to like getting high on different fumes.
I remember that metallic paint. Boy, I loved it.
Yeah, boy.
The lead-based walls, you used to scrape it off and chew on it in class.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yay, small talk.
Asbestos and D-ring, right?
Right. I chilled out all weekend for Memorial Day. I didn't do much. I went to the pool and got a pretty good sunburn, but a healthy one.
Nice. Did you win
that Dusty
ever?
Tan.
For me, that's a 10.
Did you and Dusty ever hook up at the pool?
No, we did not.
No.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
It's I never got subject. A call.
It's difficult enough with my kids, let alone Dusty in there, too.
Nothing more needs to be said, guys.
And Tony, I'm thinking the term hookup is probably not one.
Sorry, my bad. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I mean, it used to be that's what we'd say, but now hookup means something different. So
my bad. I'm still in the 80s vernacular.
Yeah, for sure.
So no, it's probably more Rich's wife and kids would have been left out. Me and Rich would have been having a good time.
Yeah, that's a no-no. It's probably best you didn't show up, Dusty.
Yeah, probably good, Dust.
But hey, Rich, I have to say I did enjoy your pics you sent us of grilling. Nothing makes me more proud than seeing some steaks or some chicken or some salmon or whatever on the grill. I just love that. I'm so looking forward to us getting together and flipping some burgers or something on the grill and just hanging out and chewing the fat, you know?
Hell yeah.
It's like symbolic of us growing up. Like when I see you guys posting food pictures, I'm like, we're big kids now. That's crazy. Look at
us. Big boy.
Look at us. We're cooking and stuff.
Yeah, boy. I was going to take a picture of mine, too, and send it. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then 10 minutes later, Rich does it.
Yeah.
Dusty, dang, I like it, man.
Dusty,
see,
don't be scared.
No,
yeah, don't
I
hold back,
love it.
My man.
Come on, Dustin. You do all the paintbrushing of the sauces. And
oh, yeah.
No, glazes. No.
Like technical. And
yeah, he throws a little
restaurant
bam
quality
on the plate. Yeah.
No, oregano.
What's that stuff called? The parsley that he sets next to the garnish. The garnish that he sets next
there
to
you
the
go.
Dish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ryan,
he has a little squeeze bottle of sauce he puts around the edge and little patterns. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Ryan, your Hawaii rose. Post looked nice.
What post?
Your Hawaii post. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
The one where I was sad because my family wasn't there.
Yeah, you looked real sad.
Yeah.
You should have been seen behind the scenes. I was like giddy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, family. I missed you. I seriously, whenever I'm at places like that, I do wish, I always think, oh, I wish my family was here. But I, you know, I found ways to have fun. And that's,
yeah, it looked just, like it. You know, how,
yeah. You're a trooper.
Way to tough it out, Ryan.
Yeah, I was like, this is so Ryan in that post. I'm like, this is so him with that. Those looks off into the distance, dude. That was hilarious.
What's the deal smirk with on his face? In the pool, though.
Yep.
Well, Jimmy, say that again, Jimmy.
Why were you wearing a shirt in the pool?
No, that's a swim. That's a rash guard.
You don't want your nipples to bleed?
Yeah, no. I've got used to wearing rash guards now because I've just rubbed them raw so many times.
Oh, I thought it was like had like a tube at the bottom so that you wouldn't sink.
No.
Jimmy, you know what I thought? I thought he got like a giant eagle tattoo on his chest, and he didn't want to reveal it to us. That like a just a giant like eagle wings across the top of his chest.
Right on, American traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's you know I don't ever get sunburns anymore because I always wear a rash guard. It's just my MO. But nice. That was at night, so I didn't have to worry about that. But I just threw it on. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not making fun of that. This guy will be wearing a rash guard in July, believe me.
Probably a good thing.
But you know there was somebody sitting by the pool going, look at this creep filming himself with his little shirt on.
Ryan, did you have
one of those? Come out of the pool now until he leaves, please.
Ryan, did you have one of those sticks? What are those called? The
selfie
long...
stick?
Selfie stick? Yeah, no, I wish I did. No, I just had it. Actually, that video right there, my son was in the jacuzzi with me to film it. It's so fraudulent.
And that's not even creepier.
Well, and his wife.
Again, creepier.
Yeah. And like five other people.
Asking this poor couple if they want to film them. What a creep.
No, can you guys see? I would love to see Ryan in a jacuzzi with the selfie stick, and he's like poking, like he's hitting little kids and people. Hey, could you guys back up a little bit? I gotta make my video.
That's the video. I always getting a reaction from people watching me. It's pretty funny. Yeah, I'm not embarrassed anymore because I film a lot of video by myself.
The lonesome dove.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been on this hiking kick I was going to bring up. Like, I've done four hikes in 5 days. And I was going to do one tonight, but it didn't work out. But I think I could have had five and five. And I think I should count it because the Saturday I was at an airport in Salt Lake City and I was at the B concourse. And that is a huge hike. So I'm going to count it. So I got five hikes in 5 days. Yeah.
Your daughter would be proud.
100%. Yeah. 100%, Ryan. Well, nice. Well, why don't we jump right into it this week, guys? We're hot for teacher.
Got it bad, so bad.
I'm going to pass it to Ryan, and he's going to lead our discussion on teachers.
Make it sound so formal, Rich.
Go right ahead, Ryan.
No, too hot for teachers. That's a good topic. I like it. No, we're gonna bust out talking about our first teachers. Well, how about we put it this way, our first memory, because I know some of you can remember your kindergarten teachers and way back when I can't. So anyway, your first memory of teachers. What was your first memory? School or teachers?
Let me jump right in there, Ryan. My first teacher was a total battle axe.
Tell us how you really feel, Rich.
So, it very likely she's dead. So, I can probably give names and stuff, but I probably won't. So anyways, my kindergarten teacher wasn't really nice. And I vividly remember when I was getting to the end of kindergarten, going into first grade. I was excited just to have a different teacher. And then lo and behold, the kindergarten teacher moved up to first grade as well. And I had her for a second year. And I despised her because during Christmas, She encouraged the students to bring in decorations for the classroom, and I brought in this huge poster of Santa Claus that I really liked, and she never gave it back. So I'm kind of holding a grudge there. Geez. But that's
apparently she liked it too.
She did. So that's it. That was my first teacher. Actually, you know, and had her for a couple of years. Not a great person.
I'm surprised you stayed in school, Richie. You didn't just drop out like after second grade. That's a rough start.
But in third grade, Mrs. Burnett, bless your soul, you were an amazing teacher.
There we go.
Central School, Snohomish, Washington. That one. So, anyways,
nice.
Who else wants to go?
Go ahead, Tony. Talk about.
I want to shout out to Ms. Paget, my kindergarten teacher at Joseph R. Perry School. And you know that you are getting old when you go back to reminisce about your elementary school and share kids, and it's torn down and it's condominiums now. That's right. So it makes you feel real old. But I was really excited to go to kindergarten. I remember watching the year previous, watching kids getting picked up on the school bus, and I was so excited. And I remember my parents, specifically my mom, being a little upset because she wanted to drive me to school on the first day, but I was having no part of it. You know, I waited this full year to carry that Superman, that metal Superman lunch pail, and you know, put on my new kicks and my new duds and get on that bus, baby. Get on that, you know, remember the green seats, the green high back seats. And, you know, I was so stoked when I heard that and the, you know, the doors, folding doors opened and I got in that bus. It was so much fun. I just loved it. Pulled up to school. I'm like, yeah, I'm a big boy now, you know, and got into that classroom. A lot of coloring went on, man. And I do remember this. I was extremely envious and jealous. There was some kid in our class, because I had been practicing my drawings. I had been practicing my coloring. I was ready to go, man. And we go in, and the first day she's like, all right, boys, you can draw dinosaurs. And she had something else for the girls to draw. And I was just so stoked because I was going to bust out the best dinosaur. She was going to love it. And she was going to hang it up in the classroom, right? Well, this guy that was sitting right next to me, dude, I'm like, bro, that looks like somebody in fifth grade drew it. You know, I was like so devastated because she picked his drawing and she did all the things with his that weren't so. Thank you guys for letting me get that out. Little nice. Psychology like today from kindergarten.
Tell that was hard on you, Tony.
Yeah, it was. It was. And you know the strangest thing too. Like we had, I don't know if you guys, but in our kindergarten class, the bathrooms were in the class. So if you had to go to the bathroom, you have to go out. Yeah, they were in the class. And the odd thing was that like it had like a 3-quarter wall. So about halfway through the years, me and my buddies would go in there and we would throw like wad up toilet paper and throw it back and forth over the top of it, and ended up getting in trouble for that in kindergarten. But, you know, those were the fond memories of kindergarten. Did your teacher ever pin the little notes on your shirt for your parents to have on the way home?
Oh yeah. All the way through high school.
I was going to say,
you still do that, right? Right.
Stuff. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Your wife pins stuff on you.
Yeah. He goes to the store and he's got a list.
Oh yeah. I was just thinking my first memories of school were pretty traumatic because you know, and this is, I'm sharing a lot. You're getting vulnerable, guys. I'm going to get vulnerable. In kindergarten, I remember in Las Vegas. So you mentioned the bathrooms. This jogged a memory. They have bathrooms in the kindergarten where our kindergarten didn't. And we shared it with, you know, like I think it went up to sixth grade maybe. And the bathrooms are like in main campus area. And I always heard rumors of swirlies, you know, where the big kids give swirlies in the toilet. And I was not going to go to the bathroom. So I just remember having an accident like right in the classroom. Like I was just too afraid. I just did it right there in class.
I thought you were going to tell us a Bush's story, Ryan. I thought you were going to say,
wait, it's not time for embarrassing stories.
I know, but I'm not embarrassed for that because I was just this little afraid kid of getting a swirly. So that was tragic.
Quick question, Ryan.
Yeah.
and this kind of goes for all you guys. Were you guys the full pants down when you were younger? Or just like, because I was a full pants down guy. I would just drop them all the way to my ankles.
Yeah, ass out, everything. Yeah. See, that's why I wouldn't go, because I'm afraid of dropping my pants in front of the whole school. I'll just go in class and just, you know, just deal with it.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I remember my other first memory of class of school. This was preschool. I remember my mom coming to pick me up, and I was so excited. I started running to the door, and some bully kid tripped me, and I just landed on my face, got a big lip.
Oh,
so, see, bullies. Your memories around pain and embarrassment or pain, and they just stick with you. Even, you know, 55, and I'm thinking about when I got tripped and got a fat lip. So anyway, yeah, not great experiences, but, you know, I think we've gone through them. All of us have had those traumatic moments, for sure.
Makes you tougher, right? Right.
That's right. That's right.
That's what they tell us, right?
I had a teacher named Mrs. Cherry, my first grade.
Hmm.
She had hair like Farrah Fawcett.
Ooh,
and I loved her.
Wow. Nice.
I would have loved her too, Jimmy.
She didn't look like Farrah Fawcett, but I loved her. Okay. She was really squat, but she had nice hair. And she was cool. She was a good teacher.
Yeah,
that's a solid name too. For
although she saw my brace my first day, and she thought I was mentally challenged, so she was kind of just giving me stuff to color when they're learning the alphabet. And I'm like, I know my ABCs over here. And she's like, oh, I thought you were needing to go to the special class. So whatever, Miss Cherry. But she was still good after we got it straightened out that I wasn't special needs. But
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah. I was going to make a joke, but
I know, but just poor timing. I'm not going there, Jimmy.
Yeah. Well, Did you take a bus to school, Jimmy?
It was a short yellow bus.
Okay. Okay.
Rich had to go there.
You nailed it, Rich. You nailed it.
I've been waiting. I knew all of you guys. I can read your minds. Every single one of you were saying that short yellow bus, and I'm like, I got to deliver.
You left it wide open for us, Jimmy.
I had one too, Jim.
Setting that up, Jimmy.
Well, let's hear it, buddy.
I'm afraid of what you guys are going to say. So my first couple years of school, I didn't go to kindergarten. I would check in with my teacher, and I already knew everything they were teaching in kindergarten. So I would just check in, and then I'd go to another class.
Of course, and then, Dusty.
And then kind of the same thing in first grade. And then second grade, I went to a gifted school. So I would go to my elementary school, and I would have my own bus take me to pick me up and take me to the gifted school.
So yeah.
Ryan, you heard those rumors about swirlies. Those were meant for him.
Yes. But I rode on the short bus too.
The short bus on the other spectrum, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't special needs.
Special needs. Just in a special.
Yeah.
The good special, not the best.
Yeah, not the best. There's two kinds of specials.
I figured out early on in junior high why everybody wanted to sit next to Dusty, so I'd hurry up and get there, try to get the seat, you know, in case I forgot an answer or didn't know something.
I know.
Also, you guys brought up the bathroom in elementary school. We had this kid that I was in class with. His name was James. I should say his first name because he's probably dead with hepatitis, because he would flush all the urinals and then go by and drink the water out of each one.
No.
No way.
Yeah. He would like rub his hands across it and lick it. And I'm like, I was sitting there going, ew, that's gnarly, dude. Oh,
that's brutal.
That's why I think he's probably dead from hepatitis.
Ooh, or he grew out of it.
Or he got worse.
Wait, James, Jimmy, James?
No, it wasn't me. Okay. I wouldn't know.
Oh my goodness.
I do a lot of stuff for Dare, but that's not one of them.
That's funny. Good first memories, man.
Definitely. So now that we've talked about our first memory, let's talk about, and this is the topic I like, this is talk about our favorite teachers, the ones that we admired or ones that inspired us. And And I definitely have quite a few of those. So what are some teachers that inspired you or built you up a little bit?
Go ahead, Dusty.
One I can pick out for sure as Mr. Fimbres, our PE teacher in high school.
Coach Fimbres.
And this always stuck with me, and what drove me to end up transferring to UNLV was he asked me right before we graduated what I was going to go to school for. So I told him I was going to ASU for business. And he said, why? You love basketball. Why are you doing what everybody else does? So that always stuck with me, and I did do the ASU and business thing. And then finally we kind of all went our separate ways. And that's when I transferred to Vegas and got into phys ed and wanting to coach basketball. And I still, all those years later, remembered him talking to me about that.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Right on.
Hector. Yeah. He was a good dude.
He was, or he is.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah, I think he may even listen to this podcast, so we'll...
I hope so.
Shout out to him. Coach Fimbres, definitely. I know there's definitely, you know, just little things that inspired me with some of our teachers. And I think I definitely talked about Mr. Munson on this podcast dealing with an embarrassing moment with my turkey report, which we don't go into again. Oh my gosh. And you know, that could have gone terrible. You know, that could have been humiliating, and he turned it around and, you know, made it a positive thing. So that was cool with Mr. Munson. And then I remember, do you guys remember, I think his name was Mr. Snyder in, is in the Valley.
Yeah.
So he was an odd bird, and a lot of people didn't like him. But I remember one time with him, I used to love to draw, and I'd love to doodle. So while he's teaching, I would be drawing. And one time he came by my desk, and I was like, oh no. And so I covered up the drawing with my hand, and he told me to move my hand. And I was like, oh, here it goes. And so I moved my hand, and he looked at it for a while. And he's like, you know, that's a really good drawing. You should just stick with that. That's excellent. And I was like, cool. You know, so anyway, I just remember that to this day. Like, that was a cool thing. He he could have easily scolded me and told me to listen or whatever. But it just goes to show you that the power and the, you know, that teachers have in developing young people. So he was a good example.
He had a dope wig too.
Yeah.
A wig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. He did. It was kind of like, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to.
It was cool.
It was cool. Yeah. It's just.
I always told my wife I want to get a wig like jet black, and not attach it in the front. And so, like, if I sneeze or something, it flies up. She won't let me do it. Just I think that'd be so fun. Yeah,
I think that'd be great. You know what, 100%. Jimmy? When we're at our golf tournament in Arizona, you should definitely like just wear a. Just put a rug on your head. Put a little toupee on there. Just
I'm going to get the
worst one possible, though.
Just one, because like leave it so it's like halfway up so you can see I have like kind of blonde gray hair and then just jet black everywhere else.
Scotch tape. Just
little see if people say anything.
All sweaty.
That would be great. And we'll be talking. We'll talk about it like it's actually like we think it's real and just see people's reaction. Like, wow, Jim, your hair is so thick.
You haven't aged.
Amazing. Yeah.
Let's do that, man. That'd be awesome.
It would be perfect.
Ironically, didn't Jim get a bald headed wig one time at Spencer's when we were in Vegas for a concert or something? He went walking around the mall.
Absolutely.
Rich. I had really blonde eyebrows. Everybody thought I had cancer.
I remember that, man. So well.
But my favorite teacher was probably Mrs. Snyder. Did you ever take any classes with her?
Oh, yeah.
What did she teach?
Psychology.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it? It was civics or history or something.
Psychology and Arizona history.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So I had to write a paper for Arizona history. And she said, you know, she said, I want everybody to pay attention. She goes, I want to hand out this paper and I want you to read it. This is a quality paper. It's probably one of the best paper. It's probably college level writing. So she handed out everybody and it was mine.
Wow.
I was like, right on.
That is so cool. See, Jimmy, you could just see your face light up when you tell that story. Just remember, teachers have power. Made you proud. And you still remember it. That's awesome.
Then her son went and bought us beer afterwards.
All right.
Well, 17-year-old with a full beard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like 230. That was massive.
236'2".
Right. Yeah.
Looked like a 40-year-old alcoholic. Holy crap. It was great.
But he was a good guy.
Oh, he's awesome. We hung out all the time. Yeah. Like, Rich and I hung out with him a lot. Because you guys all had girlfriends. So we'd hang out with Scott. Talk about getting girlfriends.
I had a couple, and no disrespect to any of my high school teachers. I think the two that really kind of inspired me were both when I was at NAU. Well, first, do you remember who the art teacher was at Mojave?
Yeah. Jimmy, what was her name?
Dark Olson, hair. Miss Olson.
Miss Olson. Yeah. Miss Olson.
She was a good teacher.
Yeah.
I enjoyed her class. But
did you ever take a painting class with her? She would like with the watercolor, she didn't use a cup of water. She would just stick the brush in her mouth take the paint off with her mouth.
Dude, that's weird. Wow.
I was weirdly grossed out and turned on at the same time. It was, I don't know what it was. I was like, that's kind of hot, but I'm disgusted that I'm so turned on by it.
Jimmy, would she look at you like in the eyes, like in the eyes?
Dude, if she would have, if she would have
like
done
a lollipop, locked eyes,
it would have been no time.
Well, neither of my NAU teachers did that. Okay. But the first one, what's that?
No, I said continue on, I guess.
Yeah. I'd call out at least Jordan, who was an art history teacher, and it was just the best class, and it was kind of learning things that you never thought of before and how things can be beautiful outside of like business school. So I took like at least three semesters of her art history classes at NAU. And then the other one that other class I really enjoyed, again, was not business related, but I had a philosophy of religion class, which sounds, ew, that is probably the driest thing you could ever take. But I walked into it. I knew it was a challenging class. And the teacher, William Neatman, it was his book that he taught. So you could not fake anything in his class because he knew the material up and down. But really interesting, talking about religion and God and stuff. But again, not related to my major at all, but two great, great professors.
I had that class as well at the University of North Carolina. That was a super interesting class. Actually, I really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting much, but
yep.
Yeah. I remember, and thinking of the university level classes, I had one art teacher and she was very inspiring, but what I remember most about that class was the subject matter. It was a drawing and painting class, kind of a higher level art class, and they had I remember just my look on my face when this happened. This lady came into the middle of our classroom, and so the teacher announced, "We're gonna draw a model today." And she dropped her clothes, her robe. She was just naked, like full on naked.
And did you little kid laugh?
I was like, looking around at people like, oh my gosh, she's here. And I was so embarrassing. I was so immature. Naked. And I think other people are much more mature than I was. But I was just like, how am I going to do this? Like, oh my gosh. It was.
Was she good subject matter to draw?
Ryan's like, do we have to use the easel or can I just put it on my lap?
I just remember.
Did you use chalk or?
No, it was a draw with pencil, charcoal. And I remember I was drawn after the shock wore off, then I was starting to draw her, and my teacher came around, and I was doing pretty good. And she's like, "Why didn't you draw a face on her?" And I was like, that's a good.
She wasn't really focused on the face.
I was so embarrassed. Like, I don't know. I should have drawn that first.
Ryan, why are there 14 different versions of on your paper?
That was so weird. Oh my gosh. So anyway, but that was just an eye opening from this little kid from a small town, and he goes to the big university and he's like drawing naked women. Like, so real naked women.
How much would they have to pay you for you to be a male nude model for art students? What's your number? What would you do it for?
Free.
Quiet down, Tony.
Tony would pay.
Nobody asked you, Tony.
I think Tony has been.
And the whole class of teachers going, the proportion's off. Never mind. It's right on. I thought the proportion was off, but it's perfect.
Gosh. I don't know why I brought this up to you guys, but. Ooh. Yeah, so. But anyway, that's one that I'll never forget. That's for sure. And wow.
I don't think any of us took university level classes together before, but I did take a class with Billy once. He and I took a tennis class, I think for two semesters. Oh, wow. And that teacher hated us.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
For sure. We would do two serves each, and then the rest of the hours running around.
Billy chasing you with a racket.
Chasing me and hitting balls as hard as we could at each other. And then it was like baseball, knocking them out of the park. And the teacher was just, enough, you two.
Oh, my gosh.
How many tennis classes did you take? Because I think me and you had one as well.
Could have been. Yeah. Could have been. Thus, I went to NAU and got out of Phoenix to actually get something done.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's just how it is with Billy. Sorry, yeah. Billy, you're not here to defend yourself, yeah. But he knows.
You're the best partner in tennis, Billy. Don't let anybody tell you any different.
No way. Exactly.
You're amazing.
Billy. I feel like I had some really good teachers along the way. I feel like some of our junior high teachers were really good. I enjoyed, I've said it before, Mr. Rich's class.
Mr. Rich.
I was kind of one of those fidgety students that didn't sit well. And, I still to this day, I'm physical. I like to move around and I don't like sitting for long periods of time. But Mr. Rich would take us out. We got to go out to the Topok Marsh.
Marshes.
I think I was super excited about learning about all the different habitat, the ducks specifically, because he being outside, he just made it fun. He was a cool dude, so he was good. Mr. Munson actually was my tutor. He tutored me after school because I had some problems with English. I like the way that Mr. Wisniewski and Mr. Munson would go Wisniewski. Shoot baskets with us.
They'd challenge us, or we would challenge them.
Were they both like 6'4" or something?
Yeah, they were cute. They were tall, and I think they looked even bigger because we were so small.
Yeah.
And then I liked our math teacher too. Was it Mr. Beatty? Beatty?
Oh, yeah.
Beatty.
Yeah,
he was actually really good. I really appreciated him. So
yeah,
shout out to him. And then in high school, go ahead, Ryan.
No, I was going to say, I would even go back to Mr. Beatty when we were in high school to get help with algebra.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. I remember he was really cool with us too. I remember everybody was into the Rubik's Cube, and he helped get a whole Rubik's Cube contest that we did in the gym. And he was just, he was one of those kind of guys. He was really cool. And I feel like I don't know if that many people still have that many. I don't know what the ratio is male to female, but I feel like we had a lot of really good male teachers in junior high.
We did.
And they were just, really cool guys. I mean, I really learned a lot from them. And then in high school, Coach Sawyer, I actually really dug Coach Dan Sawyer. I thought he was a great guy. You know, he taught the metal shop and the auto shop, and he was a wrestling coach, just a good dude. And Mr. Diaz, funny thing is, I was like, here, my last name is Castillo. So I take Spanish class, and Coach Diaz was also the wrestling coach. And so I'm just like, I'm like, I won't, I don't know. I think I had friends and stuff in the class and there was girls in the class. So I would not pay attention. I wouldn't do any of the homework. I was just a horrible student. And one day, God bless Coach Diaz, he walks me out in the hall and he's like, "Hey, Castillo, you're going to want to take a different class. This isn't working out for you, man." He goes, "I like you. You're a good kid, but this is just, you know, this isn't for you." And so thanks, Coach Diaz. You're right. I ended up dropping that class and got into another one. So I got a better grade because I ended up failing Spanish. Castillo failed Spanish.
So you missed out on that class because Richie, you had that class. And didn't you guys go to Mexico or
somewhere? Yeah, we went to Mexico together. Yeah. Partied. Yeah. I was going to say, though, Mr. Diaz once called me out in front of the whole class. We had to each go up there and say a few sentences or something. And he made fun of me saying he said, "Rich is the only student I've had that doesn't move his mouth when he speaks Spanish." And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? But I guess I was just nervous and I, you know, wasn't confident in how I was delivering. But anyways, he gave me a lot of shit, but he was a good teacher. He was a nice guy.
Totally. And then I like Coach Fimbres too, Dusty. Coach Fimbres was super cool. I wanted to be a PE teacher for the longest time. I'm like, that'd be such a cool job, just going out and shooting baskets and throwing a football and playing, you know. And that's why I took up as many TA spots each year as I could. I was like, that would be so cool being a PE teacher. And then later on, as my kids got older, I volunteered as a PE teacher at their school and I really, really enjoyed it. So
that's awesome.
Shout out to Coach Fimbres. Yeah.
Have you seen him? Like, he looks the same. He does not look like he's aged. He's like Tom Cruise. He looks great. He's fit.
That's awesome.
I never made the cut to get him as a PE teacher. Like the whole time I was at Mojave, I always had like the other guy, because it rotated. There was a few different ones, but Dusty would know the one guy who would play hoops with us and always had a fadeaway.
Coach Freitas, who actually lives in my housing development.
Oh, really?
No way. That's right.
Yeah, right now.
Do you guys play basketball together?
No, he looks like he can barely walk.
Oh.
He has those catcher's knees from his baseball days. But I did see him. Mojave played against a high school here in town, and I went and saw him play and talked to him after the game for a couple minutes.
Cool. Dang. That's, you know, age catches up with you for sure.
That said, I always liked Coach Fimbres. He was a good dude.
And then probably one of the most utilized skills from high school, and I have to thank Miss Nestrick for typing. She was actually a very good typing teacher, and because of her, I didn't have a rough time in any of my classes when it came to, you know, typing or computers or anything like that. Yeah. So
she was the same like with Miss I had Miss Briscoe,
right?
And you know, I what I learned there was crucial. I learned the hand placement for typing. That's all I learned. Home row. And that's that. And thank goodness, because who knew how much we're going to be using keyboards in our future? Every day, all the time.
Yeah, multiple times a day. Yeah,
It's just insane.
Yeah, no doubt. I always like Mr. Hershey too. You just lost 5 points. My gosh, to this day, that cracks me up. You know?
Yeah,
couldn't stand him. He was. That's what turned me off from math, because he was a football coach first.
Yeah, he definitely
was. And a dumbass algebra teacher second. You would ask him a question and he'd go, "Mr. Hamilton," and he'd do his thing with his fingers, "Mr. Hamilton, are you not paying attention?" I said, "I have a question. Let me finish and I'll get to your question." Then he would wait till the end of class, the bell would ring, and I'd be like, he'd bring it up to me next time, Mr. Hamilton. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. He's a jerk.
I love it.
Nice, Jimmy.
I remember that, and we talked about this on an earlier podcast, but when he told me I just lost 5 points for wearing my sunglasses in class.
That was the best. Yeah, that was the best.
And then after I pulled them off, and I had a busted up face. He's like, "You can put those back on."
That was awesome. I'll never forget that. Yeah. I had a at Biola University, where I got my business degree, I had my minor was in biblical studies. And I had this Dr. Harold Dollar. Same thing, Rich. He wrote the book that we had in class. He wrote, so there was no, like, you couldn't BS your way through the class because it was his material. Yep. And actually, the dude, you know, I learned so much from that guy. He took a simple, like, his specialty was the book of Acts. And he spent his whole life just on that book. And he wrote commentaries, all kinds of stuff on it. But it was amazing, like all the little nuances. He took us through each one of the missionary journeys and the topography of the land, the people in that time, what they ate. I mean, it was like one of the most comprehensive like classes. And he had us like, when somebody really knows the material and they can take difficult subjects and break them down and make them palatable, yes, for those of us who don't know, absolutely, it's like so interesting. And he was one of those guys, and I'll always thank him for that. And then John Lampignano at Gateway, yes, our radiology. John. He was so good. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I find myself doing this old guy 80s things where I'm like, do they even train these kids these days? Do they even know anything about, you know, radiology? I find myself thinking that in my head. I try not to say it out loud because I don't want to sound like a complete a-hole, but yeah. I find myself thinking that, and I'm like, God, John, I'm so thankful for Professor Lampignano. He was such a good dude.
He's amazing. His round glasses, I just see his face right now, smiling always.
He was such an academician. He was so academic.
Yeah, he was.
That was mine.
Yeah, talking about radiology, let's talk about a sponsor, Saddleback Portable X-Ray. If you're unable to get to a doctor or imaging center and your physician requests for you to have an in-home X-ray, visit us on our website at saddlebackportablex-ray.com. They've been serving Southern California since 1968.
Right on, Saddleback.
Nice. You go see them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, it's a good time to turn it over to Richie for one of our favorite segments.
That sounds good. Richie's not ready.
Get that queued up, Richie.
Yeah, but now he is. Welcome to Get to Know the Flophouse Crew. Love this segment. And, of course, today we're talking about being hot for teacher. And I can't think of any hotter teachers than the ones in this very room here. So this week I asked the boys, if you had the opportunity to be a teacher, what subject would you like to educate our younger generation on? So I asked each of the boys that, and here are their answers. Let's try to guess who picked what. The first one was someone picked history, straight up history.
I think that's Jimmy.
I think that's Jimmy. Ryan.
I think it's Ryan.
Or Ryan, yeah. That's a good guess.
And his face is always already breaking.
He doesn't have a good poker face.
It is. I'm going to pick Jimmy on this one. Jimmy, you want to teach history?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy. I think history would be an awesome course to teach. Dress up as whatever you're teaching.
That's what I'm talking about, Jimmy.
Make it fun. I would
have loved that when I was a kid.
Make it super fun, and I think I'd be great at history.
You can't screw it up. It already happened.
That's right.
Love to see Jimmy come in like some Paul Revere suit or something like that. You know?
riding a stick horse.
The British are coming.
I love it. Next one is math. Someone picked math. They want to be a math teacher.
It's not me because I gave up.
Everybody's like, who?
I'm going to guess it's Dustin.
Yeah, I would say Dust.
I want to say Ryan.
He knows math.
I'm going to say Rich or Ryan.
That's good. That's a good guess, Tony, because it's actually Ryan.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, he wants to be a math teacher. Why? No,
well, let me just back that up.
Pythagorean theorem. Yeah,
I was never great at math. I liked math, and sometimes I was good. It just depends on who was teaching, and that's the thing. Like, if I had the knowledge and everything where I could definitely teach it adequately, I would love to teach to those kids that don't see math the same way others do. I like most of my math teachers going up through high school to college, I couldn't understand what they're teaching until I got home and figured it out on my own. But there were very few teachers that could actually teach me the way I learned it. So I think just outside the box, you know, if I could teach math in a to different people, not just the way it's supposed to be taught, but the way people understand it. So anyway, we need more math teachers like that. Not that I could do it, but
you know, funny, Ryan, my high school math teachers, I mean, I'm sure they were great for some people, but I didn't really click with them that well. But Mr. Beatty in junior high, Mr. Beatty, he was, I that guy was good.
Yeah. And he was good. And I agree with you 100%. Because he worked with me outside of class too.
Yeah.
Because he could tell that I wasn't catching on some of the things he was teaching. So he caught on to that and he circled back and he would work with me. But so yeah.
He did the same for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And from then on, every time Ryan did math homework, he sat there in his underwear.
Wait, I did?
Yeah, because that's the way you were trained. Oh.
My God. Would you say you're a common core then, guy, Ryan, as far as new math and how to teach it?
No. Oh, my goodness. That is way out.
That shit's confusing.
That stuff. I mean, I thought I knew math until Common Core came in. I was like, I don't know math, I guess. Stuff is out there. Like, that's not the way I learn. I mean, I understand what they're teaching and how, you know, the fundamentals, but. Man, they went off the rails for me.
So can I
go ahead, Jimmy?
Well, let's finish this segment and then I'll tell you a story.
All right. Next answer was somebody picked personal finance. They want to teach personal finance.
That's Dusty.
Dusty.
Tony.
Tony.
Okay. Hey, you guys are right. It was me. I think it's one of those things that I could have taken away from high school and learned from that's actually practical that most,
yeah,
you know, teenagers have no clue as to how to manage credit and things like that.
Absolutely. They should be teaching
all your income tax forms.
Oh, yep. Man. Why that stuff. Is that still not mandatory?
Get ripped off in a lease?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Compounding interest.
It's compounding interest. Like
right.
How to buy your first home.
Yeah. Although, you know, we weren't in a credit card society back then, but they still could have taught it because it was starting out. I mean, they definitely, credit cards existed.
Well, just compounding interest for investing.
For anything, I mean, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely needed. I agree.
All right. Our last two answers are eerily similar. We have one answer was PE or statistics, and the other one was PE or history.
I'm going to say statistics, PE, Dusty.
Dustin, right? And then
history and PE, Tony.
Tony, yep. I agree. I completely concur.
All right, let's wrap up the segment. Thanks for playing. Get to know the Flophouse crew. No, really, Tony. why history? How does that click with you?
I love history. I really do. I get all kinds of flack from everybody because I'm constantly reading history. I think I told you guys in one podcast before, I just got through reading 3 700 page volumes on the Gulag archipelagos in Russia, which is stuff we didn't learn about in school. So yeah. I dig history and PE.
older I get, I'm more into history as well. Dusty, what's up with statistics? Did you do well in that class?
Yeah, but just I'm always good with numbers, and that also had numbers and formulas. So, yeah, I did pretty well in that.
Nice.
You know, oddly enough, I did enjoy it. I had a really good statistics professor at Biola, and I did enjoy that. I mean, he really taught us how to look at things sometimes. And, you know, he taught us about outliers and stuff like that. Later on, dealing with insurance companies and stuff like that, it's like, hey, look, why is this guy doing 50 to 60 procedures in 5 hours when the average is like 10 to 20? This is an outlier. It needs to be looked at. You know, something's not right here. So I really appreciated what that guy taught me. So Dusty, I feel you, buddy. I like statistics, man. The mean, the median, the mode.
Yeah, even our professor, he would give us the answers to the tests, but you had to know how to get to it.
Yeah.
I like that class. That was fun.
So what about PE, like practical
math? Well, once I went to Vegas, that was my degree. I just graduated a semester early because the last semester would have been student teaching and I didn't want to get certified in Nevada. So,
okay.
I didn't want to teach anyways. I wanted to get into administration and coaching.
When you found out there wasn't somebody that did the cup check, you're like, I'm not, I just want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys a quick story. I got scolded by the, so I volunteered. I was a PE teacher for all of my kids in, I was a volunteer PE teacher for all of my kids when they were going through elementary and junior high school. And there was this one kid, and his name was Michael, and Michael was a problem child in class. He was always in trouble. And so the teacher came to me and she's like, well, I don't understand. You know, Michael is so good with you. And then when he comes back to class, he's good. What's the deal? And I'm like, I go, well, I was Michael. I'm like, the problem is you guys scold. I'm like, you guys scold Michael and you tell him he can't come to PE. That's the worst possible things you guys can do for yourself. I'm like, Michael needs to be ran. He's like me when I was a kid, as a dog. I needed to be, my parents were smart. They would let me go until I was completely exhausted, you know?
Yeah.
That's just how I was as a kid. So I recognize this in this kid, Michael. He was just a little shit ass. But he would come out and I'd be like, Michael, take a lap. And he would just book around there. And then I would always have soccer or something like majorly running. The kid would just go back to class just dead. So he was, but they got mad at me because I said, no, you guys, Michael shouldn't be sitting out of PE. Michael needs PE. Yeah. Bring him out to PE. And the teacher got all mad at me. And
they still do that. Like my son, my middle son is the same way, just an energetic kid. Yeah. And it would make me so upset when they would keep him in from recess. Yeah. The very thing he needs.
The worst thing. Yeah.
Yeah. He needs that. That's why he's acting like he needs to. This still doesn't get, it doesn't make any sense. And
no,
teachers
not
who
at
do
all.
That are just,
So during the pandemic, my son was taking online courses because you couldn't go to school or whatever. And he had PE. So the teacher said, put the laptop at the end of the bed and like do push-ups. And then I'll tell you when to switch and all this stuff. So my son would go down and put the laptop at the end of the bed and then he'd do push-ups and then he'd crawl around the bed and climb up behind the laptop and lay there. And every once in a while, he'd go, they go back to school.
So much material there.
And they have to do like a test for PE. My son couldn't barely do a push-up. And the coach is like, what are you doing? You've been doing all season. He goes, not really, coach. I've just been laying there.
Oh, gosh. At least he was honest.
Yeah. Do you guys remember, did you guys have the Presidential Physical Fitness Awards? They'd give you that little patch with the, I love that thing. I look forward to that every year. That was great.
Yep.
Very nice. Let's wrap up, get to know the Flophouse crew and move on. Ryan, I'm going to pass it back to you and we'll talk about some less than optimal experiences with teachers. Thank you, guys.
Yes. Yeah. So this is, you know, the opposite side of the spectrum, the bad experiences we had with teachers. And if it's real bad, maybe don't mention their names. But I think we've all had those teachers where the experiences were less than optimal. But yeah. So what are some of those experiences that you had with, I guess you won't say bad, but, you know, teachers that weren't up to par?
So many.
You know, the thing is, I have one, but it's it was mainly my fault. I'm just gonna come right out and say it, because she was probably a good teacher, and for the most part, I enjoyed as much as you can enjoy an English vocabulary class in high school. So in 11th grade, Miss Co was it Co? I think her name was Co. Mm-hmm. She was our English teacher, and every week we would have a vocabulary test and a spelling test. And one, it was probably about midway through the semester, and I was actually doing good in that class. And I don't know who it was. Was it, I don't know if it was you, Ryan, or somebody stuck. Maybe it wasn't you. It was somebody that was a friend of mine that stuck they're like, oh shoot, I didn't study for this test. So they wrote out like the spelling words and the vocab. And the girl that was sitting in front of me, they stuck the answers in her hair. Well, she didn't know it, but it was like right in front of me. So I'm taking the test and Miss Co walked down the aisle and she sees this and she's like, Mr. Castillo. And I'm like, yes. And she's like, go to the office. And I'm like, I was like, oh, okay. Well, what's up? She's like, you know what's up. And I'm like, no, I don't. And she's like, right there. And she points to the answer scribbled on. I go, that's not even my writing. I don't write like that. But I wasn't going to. It was my friend that was sitting next to me that stuck it in the hair in the girl in front of me, which was actually a brilliant move now that I think back at it. And I didn't want to rat him out. You know, I didn't want to go, oh, it's him, you know. So I went to the office and she gave me an F on that test and she wanted to kick me out of the class. But I talked to the principal and told them what happened. And I'm like, yeah, just please don't get my friend in trouble. I don't want to be a snitch, but it wasn't me. And you can give me the test right here, right now. And so he did. He actually gave me the test in the principal's office and he went back to Miss Co. And he's like, I don't know what happened, but he knows the material. And she's like, he's still getting an F. He cheated. So that bummed me out. Wow. I had kind of bad taste in my mouth after that because I felt like, hey, look, I knew the material. It wasn't me. I just didn't want to snitch. So
yeah,
bad experience with the teacher story.
For sure. I know, so this teacher, so it's Mr. Schumacher, who I liked. He was our football coach, and but
I liked him too.
Yeah,
apparently though.
Okay, we're not gonna go.
I really liked him.
Yeah. No. So did Rich. Somebody else that you knew, Rich.
Oh man, that's hard. Oh my gosh, you guys. Allegedly. Okay.
So, if you guys, Rich has the pouty lip right now.
Well, so with Coach Schumacher. So he was a football coach, and then he was our, what did he teach? History, maybe? Yeah, I think it was history.
Yeah. He was a wrestling coach, too.
Yeah.
His wife worked in the office, right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Yep. So I remember, so he wasn't my coach the senior year of football. I think Coach Wade took over. Yeah. But I remember the last game. Football game of the year. I was in his class and he's like, Ryan, when you score a touchdown, I want you to point the football up to me and, you know, celebrate, you know, just, you know, I thought, oh, that's cool. You know, last game of the season, I'll do that. So anyway, I remember scoring the touchdown. I did exactly what he said. I pointed to Coach Schumacher in the stadium, you know, in the stands, and, you know, I thought that was a cool moment that we shared.
Yeah.
And then I remember the next day, or the next, I think it was Monday in class, you know, I was all proud, like, yeah. And then he's like, you know, you could have got a penalty for that. You shouldn't do that. Told me, I just thought we had this moment. And then he's like scolding me for doing that.
You should have stuck it in the growing area and pointed it at him.
I was just confused. I was just like, okay. All right. Yeah.
Didn't he get you a mug or something like that at the banquet, Ryan? Always be more than a conqueror or something like that?
Yeah, he called me cowboy and he said, yeah, always be more than a conqueror, which is, you know, that's a neat gesture. I like that scripture. And so anyway, but yeah, so, you know, I think we all build others up, disappoint people here and there. And that was just a little bit of disappointment. I was like, oh, dang. Okay. he's a decent teacher, good teacher. So,
teacher I didn't like were the ones that would, like, somebody would screw up in class and then everybody in the class got in trouble.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever have that teacher that, like, you're all having silent lunch? I'm like, I didn't do anything. But you're still, those were not my favorite teachers. And a certain algebra teacher.
what about Mr. Webb? Did you like Mr. Webb, Jimmy?
I did like Mr. Webb.
Okay.
He was authentic and unusual.
The only thing that I didn't like is what Jimmy just said, is sometimes we'd go into class and I'd be like, hey, listen, man, I realize that a lot of these people are idiots, but, like, I need to pass this class. And if you're not going to teach, I need to know what's going to be on the test, because I don't want to get an F in this class. And he would, that was his deal. You know, do you guys remember that? Like,
yeah. Oh,
if you'd
yeah.
start talking or anybody'd start talking, he'd just stop teaching and pull the paper
yeah.
up and
yeah, just sit there. Yeah. He was a little bit moody, you know, when he was on, he was hilarious, but yeah, he would just stop teaching and just, we'd sit there the whole class.
Space out. Yeah.
Yeah. And not do a thing.
So odd. I really tried to think about it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, you're good, bud. I was just going to say that he was, I had a lot of smart kids in my class. So he never like did that where he did it like once, but the rest of the time it was like full on, like going through all the, and he gets so psyched about it.
Well, that was, I wish I would have been in your class, Jimmy.
I was in the dumb class.
me too.
I think Tony, yep. You were in my class.
Yeah, exactly.
We were.
I was trying to think of teachers that I didn't get along with or might have been like mean or bad teachers. But I would immediately come to the conclusion that it was me being a little jerk is why they acted that way. So yeah. Did you guys ever have Mr. Mishka for science?
I don't even recognize that
name. Mr. Mishka. He was from Minnesota, and I would constantly make fun of his accent. He would call me out on it, and it was just so bad. He'd say, "Richard, sit down. Study your compounds." And I would just repeat it back. And yeah, not nice, but.
Who was the old algebra teacher, Mr. Charles?
Dr. Charles.
Oh, Dr. Charles? Dr. Charles, yeah. Charles.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I never had him, but I heard he was pretty awesome.
Yeah, me and Ty had him. We never had Mr. Hershey.
You lucky son of a guns.
Yeah, he knew his stuff.
I had Charles, and I had him in one of my algebra classes, and I thought I only took two, but I mean, one algebra class, maybe I had two. But anyway, he felt it was awesome because he felt really sorry for me. Because he found out like my mom and dad were going through a divorce. And after that, he just took me under his wing. Like I could do no wrong in that class, no matter what I did or what I didn't do. He was just like, he, you know, talked to me, "You doing okay? Well, you know, we'll get through this." Like, yeah, this is the best.
Ryan just wrote it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Go to class, didn't do his homework. He'd sit there and go, "My mom and dad."
Yeah.
And Dr. Charles would go, "It's okay, Ryan. You pass."
Yeah. You know, I had a fourth grade teacher, and Ryan, you talked about bullying earlier, and it's funny how times have changed so much. So there was this kid, I'll never forget. I was in fourth grade, and you know, we had to line up to go into class, and, there was this kid and he would like push me in the back constantly, like all year long, just pushing the back. And so I like told him, "Hey dude, stop pushing me in the back." And, he just wouldn't stop. So I'm like, okay, well, I talked to my parents about it and they're like, "Oh, go tell the teacher." So I talked to the teacher and I'm like, "Hey, you know, this kid's pushing me in the back constantly." And she told him to stop and he kept doing it. And so finally I was like, it was almost towards the end of the year and I was just so irritated. I'm like, every time. So I would like try, I would wait and be like last in line. And then he would line up behind me and just shove me in the back, you know? And so I remember telling my dad, this is dad wisdom. My dad goes, "Why the hell are you letting him shove you in the back like that?" And I go, "Well, mom told me to tell the teacher." And you know, he's like, "How'd that work out for you?" I'm like, "Well, you know, he keeps doing it." And my dad goes, "Well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to let the guy just bully you?" And I'm like, "Well, no, but I don't want to get in trouble." And my dad's like, "All right, well, then just be bullied then." So, it was like almost the last day of school. The kid shoves me in the back. I turned around and I just nailed him right in the nose, just bloody nose. He's screaming and crying. And so the teacher, you know, I get scolded. I get sent to the office. And so the principal, old school dude, he's like, "Well, what happened, Mr. Castillo?" And I told him, and he's like, "Well, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, so the kid's parents came to the school and my parents had to come to the school and we had to meet in the thing." And it's so funny. The other kid's dad goes, "Well, you kept shoving him. What did you expect him to do?" He's like, "I don't got no problem with it. He deserved to get punched in the nose." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I went back to class, but it's like so different back then than you know, today. I mean, everybody saw the practical wisdom in it. Hey, the kid put up with it all year. He went to the teacher. He went to his parents. Nobody did anything about it. So he wasn't going to let you bully him anymore. So I'll just never forget that. But I thought the teacher handled it horribly, but whatever.
Yeah. Sometimes that's what you got to do. Got to stand your ground.
Knuckle up.
I don't know if I ever told my kids to do that or not, but maybe they never really had an experience like that. So I don't know
My kids went to a really nice private school. Everybody was like pretty nice, you know, all the way through from elementary all the way to high school. It was like zero tolerance for bullying. You that got immediate expulsion if you bullied somebody. So I don't think they ever had to deal with that.
That means your kids were the bullies.
If they never got bullied, they're the bullies.
Probably not the bullying type.
All right. Let's move on to this next exciting topic, which is embarrassing stories. Go ahead. Richie, go ahead and do the intro on that bad boy.
Yeah, we're going to jump to embarrassing moments in time where each of us is going to go through an embarrassing moment we had in the 80s. And at the end of a certain amount of time, after we all share a story, we're going to vote on who has the most embarrassing moment. And we may win a prize or something. And plus, we're going to encourage the audience to send in their embarrassing moments. And you'll also have the opportunity to win some merch. So this week, we're going to hand it over to Dustin, and he's going to tell us a very embarrassing story. But first, just to recap, week one, Jimmy told a story about getting caught by his girlfriend's father, getting choked out and falling over a fence. Tony had an interesting story about a school teacher from Scottsdale, hot mess, that had a little enema accident. And I, of course, shared my story of doing a pose down in front of all my friends at NAU, and it was very embarrassing. We'll never live that down.
Get buff, friends. Get buff.
Dusty, go ahead and take it away. Let's find out about your embarrassing moment.
So mine doesn't involve any bodily fluids or sexual encounters, but So one weekend, one of many weekends, we were all out on Mill Avenue at our regular nightclub we went to, and you're walking me off already?
That's what they do at the Oscars, right?
Yes. All right, thank you. Good night.
Sorry, Dust. That was a mistake. Bad host. Go right ahead.
Carry on.
So Tony might be the only one that was actually there. So we're at the club upstairs dancing. Our friend Mike shows up. I don't even know if we knew he was coming. He just showed up. And he comes up to me and our friend Leslie and says, "Hey, I got your Leslie's sister, my brother down in the car." So I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I go downstairs, drink in hand, walk right out of the club onto Mill Avenue, walk straight across Mill Avenue, not waiting for a light or anything. And all of a sudden,
that's illegal.
Yeah. So all of a sudden I hear, Hey, and I get stopped and, I was ticketed by a cop on a horse in the middle of Mill Avenue. Just trying to go see my brother out in the parking lot. And yeah, got a ticket for jaywalking, a ticket for an open container.
Abuse of a police horse.
No, I was very respectful of the horse.
Pretty.
I bet your horsey.
May or may not have happened.
Dusty, well. Is that a male or a female? Let me touch that.
Yeah, well, you know.
Hey, it happens, Dust.
It happens. People get pulled over by horses all the time, right?
Yeah.
So you in just Westerns, but okay.
1880.
So, Dusty, you just thought, hey, it's not a big deal if I just walk out of this club with a drink in hand.
Yeah. And I don't even think he got off the horse. He stayed up on the horse, wrote me up the ticket.
You weren't worthy of getting off the horse.
Yeah.
I would have loved to seen you run and then him just track you down like they did on Planet of the Apes, yeah, getting just, the people throwing net over you. That would have been freaking awesome.
A little rope. Just a little team rope and stretches him out.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's good, Dusty. Thank you for that embarrassing story. That is truly, truly embarrassing. All right, Rich, I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, awesome. Thank you, guys. Just a quick shout out. We have just a piece of information you may not know. We have 25 countries listening to our podcast right now. So thank you. Dankuvel. Appreciate it. And if anybody wants to send us a question or send a suggestion for the show, hit us up on socials, or you can email us at hello@the80sFlophousePodcast.com. Thanks for listening in and subscribe. Please download our episodes, and we'll see you on the flop side. Thanks, guys.
The 80s Flophouse Podcast.